A record 19 defensive players were selected in the first round of the National Football League draft over the weekend. The number one pick was a surprise, defensive end Mario Williams of North Carolina State University. He signed a 6-year contract worth $54 million, $26.5 million of it guaranteed. With that kind of money at stake, NFL teams study not only the bodies and brawn of players, but their brains, too. Wall Street Journal sports reporter Stefan Fatsis is usually with us on Fridays, but we've drafted him and his brain to help us out today. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, Michelle.
Well, since the 1970s, NFL teams have administered something called the Wunderlich personnel test to prospective players. What's the point of this test?
Well, the point is that pro football is unbelievably complicated. These playbooks are like inches thick. Offensive and defensive schemes are impossibly complex. So much is going on at once on the field. And teams make enormous investments in player personnel. Payrolls in the NFL are approaching $100 million. So teams poke and prod players like they're in the Westminster Dog Show. And then the Wunderlich is the 70-year-old test that's designed to measure cognitive ability. And it's the mental piece. One more data point to help teams determine whether players can cut it or not.
So is there any proof that a high Wunderlich score will produce a better player?
The NFL believes that there is, or else they wouldn't keep doing it. The test itself takes 2 minutes. It's 50 questions. I'm sorry, it takes 12 minutes, and it's 50 questions. 21 is considered an average intelligence, an IQ of 100. And you can cite evidence that the high score isn't indicative of all of success in the NFL. There was a quarterback named Ryan Leaf a few years ago who had a score of reported score of 27. He was taken second overall, but he was a total bust. And then there's Hall of Famer Dan Marino, that quarterback. He reportedly had a below-average score, but made the Hall of Fame. Last fall, my colleague Sam Walker at the Journal compiled test scores of more than 1,000 players, which is about 60% of the league, and he found that the top team score belonged to the St. Louis Rams, and they've been pretty good over the last few years.
Pretty smart team, Matt. Well, what about Vince Young? He was, of course, the quarterback for the national champion, University of Texas, but he was rumored to have a particularly low test. Low test score.
Yeah, he was. The rumor was that he got a 6 the first time, but then it came out that that was misscored, and he was allowed to take it again, and the reports were that he got a 16. And that didn't seem to affect his draft status, though. He was taken third overall in the draft by the Tennessee Titans, and he was the first quarterback taken above Matt Leinart of Southern California and Jay Cutler of Vanderbilt, the Harvard of the South. So the Titans didn't seem to care. They either didn't trust the results of the test, or they felt that Young was simply a better prospect, whatever his score.
Is there any idea of how much faith they put in these tests? I mean, if someone has a golden arm, do they just set the test scores aside?
No, they don't. I think they weigh them in is what teams do. It's not a make or break. I mean, if a test score is very, very low, teams will consider that. If it's very, very high, they'll be impressed. But when it comes to athleticism, that tends to trump everything.
Now, let's talk about the draft itself. Not many people were expecting Mario Williams to be the first pick. How did he break in there?
Everyone was expecting, of course, the running back, Reggie Bush, the sensational running back from Southern Cal, to be the top pick. And all signs leading up to the draft were that the Houston Texans, who had the number one pick, were going to take Bush. Then there were some issues in the week leading up to the draft about whether Bush's family had an arrangement with a marketing guy that may have run afoul of intercollegiate athletic rules. But I doubt that that was the issue. I think it's more likely that Houston had some difficulties during negotiations with Bush, and they had needs on defense anyway, so they took Mario Williams, the defensive lineman, instead. Bush wound up going second to the New Orleans Saints.
And other surprises? I guess I'm thinking of Matt Leinart.
Yeah, he fell to number 10 in the draft. He was taken by the Arizona Cardinals. And you'll remember that Leinart had considered going pro last year after USC had won their second straight national championship after his junior year. But he decided to stick around because he liked college. He took one more class, ballroom dancing, and he may have ended up costing himself at least $10 million in guaranteed money by falling to 10th, if you think about that he might have been the number one pick a year ago.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Michelle.
Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.